ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुक उवाच इत्युक्त्वासिचरिष्ठूष्णीम् भगवानात्ममायया प्रत्यसंप्रश्यतो सद्यो बभूव प्राकृतशिशुः. Translation: Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, after instructing his father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, remain silent. In their presence, by his internal energy, he then transformed himself into a small human child. In other words, he transformed himself into his original form, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.6, Sambhavam Atmamayaya, whatever is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is done by his spiritual energy. Nothing is forced upon him by the material energy. This is the difference between the Lord and an ordinary living being, the Vedas say. Parashya shaktir vividaiva shruyate sabhaviki jnana bhala kriyacha Svetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. It is natural for the Lord to be untinged by material qualities because everything is perfectly present in his spiritual energy. As soon as he desires something, it is immediately done. The Lord is not a prakrita shishu, a child of this world, but by his personal energy he appeared like one. Ordinary people may have difficulty accepting the Supreme Controller, God, as a human being because they forget that he can do everything by spiritual energy. Atmamayaya. Non-believers say, how can the Supreme Controller can descend as an ordinary being? This sort of thinking is materialistic. Jiva Goswami says that unless we accept the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as inconceivable, beyond the conception of our words and mind, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Those who doubt that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come as a human being and turn himself into a human child are fools who think that Krishna's body is material, that he is born, and that he therefore also dies. Go ahead. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, verses 28 and 29, there's a description of Krishna's leaving his body. Maharaj Pariksit inquires from Shukadeva Goswami, when all the members of the Yadu dynasty met their end, Krishna also put an end to himself. And the only member of the family who remained alive was Uddhava. How was this possible? Shukadeva Goswami answered that Krishna, by his own energy, destroyed the entire family and then thought of making his own body disappear. In this connection, Kadeva Goswami describes how the Lord gave up his body, but this was not the destruction of Krishna's body. Rather, it was the disappearance of the Supreme Lord by his personal energy. Actually, the Lord does not give up his body, which is eternal, but As he can change his body from the form of Vishnu to that of an ordinary human child, he can change his body to any form he likes. This does not mean that he gives up his body. By spiritual energy, the Lord can appear in a body made of wood or stone. He can change his body into anything because everything is his energy, Parasha Shaktir Vivashruyate. As clearly said in Bhagavad Gita 7.4, Bina Prakritir Ashtada. The material elements are separated energies of the Supreme Lord. If he transforms himself into the Archamurti, the worshipable deity, which we see as wood or stone, he is still Krishna. Therefore, the Shastra warns, Arche Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naraki Nara Matihi. One who thinks that the worshipable deity in the temple is made of wood or stone, who sees a Vaishnav Guru as an ordinary human being, or who materially conceives of a Vaishnava as belonging to a particular caste, is Naraki, a resident of hell. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear before us in many forms, as he likes. But we must know that we must know the true facts. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. By following the instructions of Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra, saintly persons, spiritual master, and the authoritative scriptures, one can understand Krishna. And then one makes his life successful by returning home, back to Godhead. So the verse that we discussed yesterday was the end of a section of the chapter. In that section of the chapter, Krishna was speaking to Devahuti and Vasudev, following their prayers to him. And what was his instruction? His instruction was two things. Understand that I'm not your child. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, I have appeared in this four-armed form, although you wanted me to be your son. Second thing he instructed them was, constantly remember me in the form that you are now seeing. And in course of time, I will return, because it indicated he wanted to go across the Jamuna River. You will see me always, even I may not be physically present. Now, in this morning's verse, we're hearing about a miracle, in one sense, and for Krishna, just everyday occurrence. That is, right before the eyes of Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna transforms himself into a small child. The two terms that are pointed out strongly in the purport are Atma Mayaya, he does so by his own spiritual potency, and the other term is Prakrita Shishuhu, from the last line of the verse. Prakrita Shishu means a material child, but Prabhupada has translated it as like an ordinary living being. Because Krishna has already emphasized, I'm not an ordinary living being. When you see this small childlike form, you should not see that I am just your dependent child, but I'm the Supreme Lord. So we should follow that same instruction. The circumstance here is a change of body, which we are being instructed not to see the same as the change of body of a living being that has a material body and Krishna's change of body. A fundamental difference is that the living entity, the Jivatma, is a spirit soul encaged in a gross material body. Whereas Krishna, who is Bhagavan, there's no difference between himself and his body. There's no inside and outside for Krishna's form. Yesterday evening, from Nectar of Instruction, we were hearing how the makeup of the mind determines the particular embodiment that one will receive after death. That's one kind of change of body, as we discussed, even in the course of life. Komara acharat pragyo, dehi nosvin yata dehi komaram. Dehi nosvin yata dehi komaram. Yeah. So the soul is changing in this life from babyhood to boyhood to youth to old age. And the body is changing. Here we're finding Krishna's changing his body from forearm Vishnu form to a small baby form. In both cases, they're being manifest by his spiritual potency. There's no covering of Krishna. How does this Atmamaya work? It works simply by Krishna's willing it to work. It's like remote control. Krishna doesn't even have to lift a little finger. For lifting of Govardhan Hill, he used his little finger. But actually, Krishna doesn't even need to use his little finger, because everything is going on by Krishna's will. When Krishna wills for something to happen, jnana bala kriya cha, it happens by natural sequence, initialized by his willing potency. Prabhupada chooses to go into describing Krishna's disappearance pastime, because that's also an apparent change of body. In the 13th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Dhritarashtra leaving his body. And he leaves his body under the instruction of Vidura. He sits down in a trance of meditation with such intensity that his body bursts into flames. The body is ignited. The soul leaves the body. Gandhari enters into that same fire, and Vidura, the brother of Dhritarashtra, is watching. Imagine watching your brother just ignite in fire, and his wife enters into the fire, and they're finished. He was feeling great sadness, at the same time great happiness, because he could understand the sinful reactions of Dhritarashtra were being destroyed, and he was ascending to a better destination than he certainly would have, having to face all of the sinful reactions for his misdeeds. Meanwhile, back at the palace, Yudhisthira is waking. He does his morning duties, his sadhana, and then he goes to greet Uncle Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra is not there, and Gandhari is not there. So he goes to Sanjaya and says to Sanjaya, "Where is Dhritarashtra? Where is Gandhari?" And the response he gets from Sanjaya is, "They've cheated me. This personality who I serve so faithfully, who never did anything without consulting me, has gone. He's cheated me. I don't know where he went. He didn't speak with me at all." So Yudhisthira starts feeling great anxiety that maybe he felt offended by not being properly served by Yudhisthira, even though Dhritarashtra was an attempted murderer multiple times, that maybe I didn't serve him nicely enough. He's feeling very sad. Suddenly, Narada Muni appears, because Narada Muni serves as the spiritual master of the Pandavas. And so to pacify Yudhisthira, he explained everything that happened. He said, don't worry. Yudhisthira is okay. He's with Uncle Vidura. He is being looked after very nicely. And very soon he's going to leave his body and get relieved from so many sinful reactions. And don't think that you can go into the forest and find him, because practically as we're speaking, he's giving up his body. Now the important point of all of this is what he says next. He says, this is all the plan of the Lord. Very soon, the Yadu dynasty will also depart by the plan of the Lord, and also the Lord will appear by his own plan. Atmamayaya. All of this, including what happened with Dhritarashtra, was going to happen with the Yadu dynasty and with himself, and then with you. He said, then you may go to join him, but you should stay until that happens. It's like, you know, the game plan. He's explaining everything before it happens, which all takes place just by the Lord's own Atmamaya potency. Everything is within his spiritual potency, as described twice in the purport. In the purport, Prabhupada refers to this third canto, fourth chapter dialogue, Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. Same subject matter, the disappearance of Krishna following that. So the focus is going upon how does Krishna do this? How does he create the material world, enter within that world that he has created, bring with him his associates, perform pastimes with those associates, arrange for his associates to be withdrawn, and withdraws himself, leaving the same cosmic manifestation that he created with his own potency? This is all very mysterious and a very deep spiritual science for one to try to understand. Because it's a deep spiritual science, our acharyas comment upon this mystery. There are two other prominent places where this is discussed. In the 11th canto, chapter 31, and the final chapter of the 12th canto, Krishna's departure. I'm going to describe a little bit from the 11th canto. In the 11th canto, chapter 31, there is a discussion or description of the departure of the Yadu dynasty. Similar language is used where it says that everything was enacted by the Yadus, by the Lord's potency. In other words, one can look at the Yadus fighting with the Yadus as something like, hey, what's going on? Rice, wine, intoxication, fighting to death, the Yadu dynasty? What's going on here? It can be confusing to a moralist or a mundane person. The instruction is given by Shukadeva Goswami that one should not regard this as mundane any more than one should regard Krishna's appearing as a four-arm Vishnu form and then assuming a small child, that it's somehow mundane or fanciful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells a story to explain. He said one time there was a very qualified magician who came into the court of one very wealthy king, and he told the king, I am going to show you all of my magic. And the king was very excited. The magician said, bring out some of the finest treasury items that you have in your personal treasury and bring them here. So the magician went up and picked up a very fine, highly jeweled necklace, moved it about, and it disappeared. And he said, my dear king, you will never see this necklace again. It is gone. Then he picked up palmfuls of gold coins and said, moved them about and said, my dear king, I have just made these disappear and you will never see these gold coins again. He then said, your entire stock of horses, 7,000 horses, have just now disappeared, and you will never see them again. Then he said, now before your very eyes, your queens, your children, and your entire royal family will disappear, and you will not see them again. Then he said, my magician guru has not only taught me all these magic tricks, but he's also taught me Ashtanga Yoga. And he's taught me that the way to give up one's body voluntarily is in a sacred place. And before a great king like you, I consider I'm in a sacred place. So he sat down in a trance of meditation. His body burst into flames. And all the wives of the magician, sobbing, went running into fire right in the middle of the royal assembly and gave up their bodies, and just a pile of ashes was left. One can only imagine the astonishment of the king. Days later, one of the daughters of the magician came from his village because he was living in his village. And he sent one of his daughters to the king. And the daughter of the magician said to the king, invisibly I have brought back the jeweled necklace, the gold coins, your 7,000 horses, and all of your family members and children and queens, but you just can't see them. My father said, if you, to whatever degree you appreciate this wonderful magic, you can give some contribution to him in exchange. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, as a worldly magician can do such tricks, what to speak of Yogeshwara, who can manifest by his spiritual potency various forms and remove those very same forms with his own energy. In this 11th canto, chapter 31, Shukadeva Goswami says, the Lord does this by his own spiritual potency, just as he manifests his form of Kurma, or no, it was, Kurma. So also he manifests his associates and withdraws them. The understanding is given in the commentary by our acharyas that the Kurma form is not a material form. The four-armed Vishnu is not a material form. The childlike Krishna form is not a material form. These are eternal forms, and Krishna simply manifests or withdraws those forms before our eyes. Summary. What's the important lesson that we're supposed to take from this morning's verse? When we think of the forms of the Lord, we're advised, don't think of the forms of the Lord in any way as material. And this spiritual form of the Lord possesses all spiritual potency. With that spiritual potency, within that spiritual potency, everything is contained, and the Lord can manifest his pastimes or manifest other forms, manifest the associates of the Lord, withdraw them, all at his own will, because he has transcendental potencies. Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, something that's very simple, very profound. You should remember this, like always remember this. Jiva Goswami says that there's no question of understanding the personality of Godhead without accepting that the personality of Godhead has unlimited and inconceivable potencies. Not accepting that, there's no question of understanding God. The impersonalists want to say, no potency. Their reason is, as soon as you have potency, then you have two. You have potent and potency, and you can't have two, you can only have one. Therefore, no potency. Therefore, no possibility of understanding the personality of Godhead. God is supreme, but there's a whole bunch of things he can't do, although he's supreme. He can't have potencies, for starters. The final paragraph in the purport deals with deity worship, where in the same manner as Krishna can manifest his forearm Vishnu form, his childlike form in the prison house of Kamsa, he can also manifest the deity form, because bina prakritir ashtada, these potencies are his potencies, and he can make himself visible to our eyes through those potencies. Because he has unlimited spiritual potency, he can do as he likes. Even if, out of sentiment, persons come to a temple and worship the deity, they don't understand. They see wood or stone or metal, because that's the limit of their understanding. Still, if they come out of worship and offer their respects and prayers to the Lord, they get spiritual benefit, because the deity form is Krishna. But the training of our devotees through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, were to understand that the deity form is actually Krishna, and the same as the name is the same as Krishna, the same as the literary form is also Krishna, and therefore, by understanding this science, we can be fixed in transcendental knowledge, be firm in our faith and convictions, and proceed straight back home, back to Godhead. And it's for that reason that Srila Prabhupada and our predecessor acharyas were very enthusiastic, very dedicated to providing transcendental literatures to educate the population in general in spiritual science. Because once that spiritual conception displaces the very speculative or material conception of the process of devotion and who is God, when that cloud of illusion is removed by transcendental knowledge, the path of others is also very nicely opened. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nithai Gopimanandi.
Izolenis Prabhupada Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nithai Gaur Premanandi.